Literary genres. What is theatre? As opposed to fiction and poetry, drama is based primarily on performance. The text, generally called a play, and written by a playwright or dramatist, is only part of the story. To bring it to life, a play requires actors, a director, and an audience. In turn, the actors usually need a stage, the area where the play is performed, and props, objects and furniture to make the action realistic. The set, representing the place where the play is set, is constructed on the stage. There may also be music. Many of Shakespeare's plays incorporated songs into the text, but today the action of a play is often accompanied by a background music similar to film music. So we could say that theatre is a mixture of text, voice, sound, music, movement and image. What makes the experience of going to the theatre so exciting is that every performance is unique and, unlike cinema, it takes place live in front of our eyes. Structure of a play. In the same way a novel is divided into chapters, a play is normally divided into a number of acts, and each act into a number of scenes. All of Shakespeare's plays, for example, are divided into five acts, with each act usually containing five scenes, though this was done later. Nowadays, there are plays of all different types and lengths. It's quite common to see plays which only have one single act. Techniques. A dramatic text can employ different techniques. It can develop through dialogue, monologue, soliloquy, and through asides. Dialogue. We have a dialogue when characters speak to each other. Dialogues are very important because they enable a playwright to create the story and convey the sequence of events. Monologue. When one character speaks without interruption, either alone or to other characters, for a considerable period of time. We call this a monologue. Monologues are often used by dramatists to insert complex ideas into the dramatic structure of the play. Soliloquy. When a character speaks his or her innermost thoughts, whether directly to the audience or seemingly unaware of the other characters on stage, we call this a soliloquy. It was a common feature of Elizabethan drama, but in modern theatre we tend to think of all acts of speaking alone as monologues. Aside. Asides are short comments that the characters make for the audience and which are not supposed to be heard by the other characters. Through asides, the playwright can reveal something more about the speaker, explain better something which has just been alluded to, produce a humorous effect and create complicity between a character and the audience. Stage directions. Another important element of a play is its stage directions. These are the sections of the text where the playwright gives instructions for the play's production. They may include a detailed description of the set or scenery, with possible references to furniture, lighting, sound effects, music and so on, as well as indication to the actors as to how they should deliver their lines, where they should stand and how they should interact. Stage directions are useful for the director of the production, but they are also essential to be able to read a play in the absence of performance. Indeed, they can help us create a mental image of the performance. Tragedy. The simplest definition of tragedy is a story with an unhappy ending, usually involving the death of one or more of the protagonists. Classical tragedy had a linear time structure as described by Aristotle's idea of unities. One time, one place, one action. It was preceded by a prologue and included a chorus whose function was to comment on the events and characters of the drama. Here are the views of three famous philosophers on the value and meaning of tragedy. Aristotle thought tragedy had an effect of catharsis upon the audience. The audience would be purified by watching a tragedy because they had the opportunity to see and identify with the representation of violent emotions and the resolution of the conflicts they produced. Plato was less enthusiastic about the highly emotive nature of tragedy. He said that the dramatic representation of violent and irrational emotions actually encouraged these emotions in real life. In modern terms, we can say that Plato anticipated the notion that watching violence on TV produces more violence in reality. Nietzsche noted the way that tragedy represented the conflict between the individual and society. This is one of the reasons why the tragic hero is typically a solitary figure in conflict with society. Not surprisingly, the tragic hero's preferred form of expression is the soliloquy. The most famous tragedies in English drama are those of William Shakespeare and Christopher Marlowe, two of the greatest dramatists in English literature. Those of Shakespeare are universally recognized as being amongst the most important works of literature ever written. His tragedies deal with fundamental human situations and emotions, like the relationship between parents and children, the desire for power, the choice between good and evil, jealousy and romantic love. Comedy. Traditionally, a comedy is a humorous play, sometimes romantic in nature and with a happy ending. Whereas tragedy was normally about the conflict between the individual and society, the comic form essentially concerned the successful integration of individuals into society. Therefore, the plots of comedies often revolved around, or at least included, the formation of couples. While earlier dramatists had stuck to either comedy or tragedy, Shakespeare was the first English dramatist to attempt to mix elements of the genres. The comedy traditionally revolves around the resolution of a confusion. One traditional form of comic confusion is that of mistaken identity. Often this confusion is caused by one or more of the characters deliberately disguising themselves as someone else. Typically, at the end of a comedy, all confusions are resolved and all the characters return to their real roles. The structure of a play in acts and scenes enables the playwright to develop several parallel storylines involving different characters. In comedies, this structure has a particularly important function, as the writer can keep his various plot lines in suspense or even increase the general confusion by weaving them together. This means that comic writing is a bit like the art of juggling. Keeping the various plots or stories going is like keeping several balls in the air. The really great comic writers are able to keep a great number of balls in the air without dropping any of them. Modern drama. Modern drama is different from classical drama in terms of its subject matter, language and structure. First of all, modern drama expanded the possibilities that could be used in the theatres, moving away from the traditional play in terms of subject matter. With the rise of the urban middle classes, theatre had come to reflect the prevailing taste for realist plays that reflected their lifestyles and moral attitudes. New drama looked beyond these rigidly structured domestic comedies. In terms of structure, there is no dominant form of modern drama. Most modern plays cannot be considered either tragedies or comedies in the traditional sense. This is because the modern world is neither benevolent nor highly tragic. Instead, it's often seen as a world of absurdity, boredom, incommunicability, failure, cynicism, meaningless cruelty, and injustice. The structure of modern drama also differs from classical theatre in its treatment of time. While classical drama has a linear, unified time structure, modern plays often involve the use of flashbacks or alternate between two or more times. The past is often called into play in the form of nostalgia for a happier time, or it may, on the other hand, be something the characters are trying to forget. Another crucial difference between the structure of modern and classical drama is the predominance of situation over action. In classical drama, the plot followed the actions of the characters. We could say, for example, that Hamlet's actions changed his situation. In modern drama, the characters are often trapped in a situation which their actions cannot change. Early manifestation of this tendency appeared in the Theatre of the Absurd, which simply presents the absurdity of modern existence without questioning it. There is often no plot development. To an audience used to traditional plays, absurdist theatre may seem incoherent and illogical, but this demonstrated that a new way of looking was needed to be able to appreciate this new theatre. Gradually, playwrights began to look at a wider range of social and political concerns, and the theme of a play often became more important than either its plot or characters. Plays began to examine uncomfortable aspects of society in a more direct way than they had done in the past. We can say that from the late 1960s onwards, there is a notable politicization of British drama, with playwrights such as Edward Bond, David Hare, Howard Branton, and Carol Churchill, examining the effects of the social and political conditions of contemporary Britain on the lives of ordinary people. The plays of these writers typically analyze the structure of society through a critical investigation of its institutions, such as family, church, schools, the media, work, hospital, prisons. Some recent plays have gone further by trying to represent increasing dehumanization of consumer society in ever more explicit and direct ways.